Good morning, church. We have another beautiful day, so let's stand, let's pray, let's begin to worship. Father, we thank you for the breath of life once again, that we can stand here. We've made a conscious decision to be here in church this morning. And Father, we have songs to sing that worship and glorify and lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you that we can have this opportunity here today. There are many, many other things that we could be doing today. But in the course of eternity, this is the only thing that matters. So, Father, we just ask that once again, you would just meet us here with your Holy Spirit. That it would just be an awesome time of worship and praise. Father, we just thank you for this today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he does feed and supplies our every need. Oh, tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. Hungry, call it now, come and dine. The disciples come to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called to them, oh, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the master call it, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Turn the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, to be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the master call it, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine. Come and dine, the master call it, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine.
Come and dine. It's not a reservation that ever ends. Everybody has a reservation. It never expires. He simply says, come, come, come as you are. Come and dine. Amen. He leadeth me.
Scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom. By water still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine. against is my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace a victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, stars in their courses above, joined with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
If God has indeed been faithful, go and share that with each other as you greet each other this morning. Thank you.
reasons to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen.
Sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear and raise my fears really. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, 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 praise God.
Amen.
John Newton certainly knew the definition of grace as a murderer, slave trader, to be able to say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He truly was a wretch. Some people are more wretches than others. But you know, in God's eyes, that's right, Joanne, it is all the same. Whether you tell one lie or you murder a million people, you're a wretch nevertheless. But amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. And I was blind, but now God had opened his eyes and he said, I see. Amen. Amen. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father, said the Son. Though he completed the earthly task he had begun, he let this old world have its way on one dark and tragic day to
bring us love. Perfect love, His kind of love. I can almost feel the heavens shuddering still, standing helpless, watching Jesus climb that hill, asking help from that one man. Perfect love makes no demands. He walked in love, perfect love, His kind of love. It was not the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was His love for us that made Him pay the cost. And how the angels must have cried, watching helpless as He died, to bring us love, perfect love, His kind of love. It is finished, those were the last words were spoken. From the body of a man whose heart was broken, God condemned by man the judge, accepting judgment without one grudge, to bring us love, perfect love, His kind of love. He has shown thee, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. He has shown thee, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. He has shown thee, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. He has shown thee, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
You find that in Micah 6:8.
So that sin will not come in, a heart that's undivided, but one you rule and reign, a heart that feeds compassion, that pleases you, my Lord, a sweet aroma of worship that rises to your throne. A pure heart, that's what I follows hard after thee. A pure heart, that's what I long for. A heart that follows hard after thee. A heart that hides your word so that sin will not come in. A heart that's undivided, but one you rule and reign. A heart that beats compassion, that pleases you, my Lord. A sweet aroma of worship that rises to your throne.
Indeed. Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Sing the song one more time. In the Gospel of John, I believe it's chapter 4, Jesus says, but the hour has come and now is when we shall worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. People say, well, what does that mean to worship in spirit and in truth? Well, only born again believers can worship in spirit. So we're doing that. But this song is talking about God's holiness. There's no sin with God. We cannot worship him in truth if we have unconfessed sin in our life. So as we're singing this song one more time, if there's something that's hindering you, take care of it. Come to God in spirit and in truth. Because later today, we're also going to be taking communion. And there's the admonition in there not to take it unworthily. Unworthily means either not born again, or you coming to him with grudges and your unconfessed sins. Either way, it's just as deadly. Deal with it now. Hide me in your holiness. That's what we're singing now. Let's sing this.
Hide me, Lord, in your holiness. Every sin I now confess. Praise to you, forgiving Lord. Hide me in your holiness. Hide me in your holiness. Hide me, Lord, in your holiness. Every sin I now confess. Praise to you, forgiving Lord. Hide me in your holiness. Hide me in your holiness.
Thank you, Lord.
To your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised.
Amen.
I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised.
Thank you.
Peace, that is what I is none like you.
The Lord gave me a prophecy today, so here goes. The Lord would just have us to remember that as believers, we are not just sitting here complacently waiting for the fulfillment of our salvation and the rapture and going to heaven, but we have a job, a really important job to do, and we're supposed to diligently work on this. And we know that there is a race that we're running, and we have to drop all the extra weights, and we have to drop the sin that does so easily beset us. And look at Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith, and we run this race by faith. So remember that what Jesus suffered, and remember that as an example. When we are complaining and feeling like life is really rough, we can take comfort because the Lord has suffered more, and he knows the way, and if we follow him, he will show us the way to produce this faith. And we are to diligently add to that faith a lot of other things, virtue and knowledge and brotherly kindness and temperance and charity. We are to add all these things. And so it's a very busy life we have as we grow in this faith and as we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous his thoughts. And let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon them, and unto our God, and he will abundantly pardon them. For his ways are not our ways, neither our thoughts his thoughts. We want to thank you and praise you today, O Lord, for touching us down deep in our hearts. And we want to bless you and thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise your holy name. For as the heaven is above the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. Lord, we thank you and praise you today for your word. Your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the intents and the thoughts of the heart. Neither is any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are open and naked in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We bless you and thank you today, O Lord. Praise your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth thee for all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies, and satisfy our mouth with good things, that our youth may be renewed like the eagles. Like the eagles, and we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise your holy name. May be the God of peace and consolation grant us to be like-minded according to Christ Jesus, that we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, let us receive one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. And we thank you, Father, and praise you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:10, he says that, I have you, brethren, that you speak all the same thing, that there will be no divisions among you, but you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. And also in Psalms 133, it says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like that precious ointment that falls upon the head. It goes down to the beard, like it went down into Aaron's beard and down into his skirt. How wonderful and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, Father, for changing hearts today, for softening hearts, for making a way where there seems to be no way. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let it be broken spirits and a broken and contrite hearts, we pray today, wherever is needed, we pray in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for a glorious day, for a day of victory, that your name be glorified, your name be lifted up, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And let the high praises of God be in our mouth, and the two-edged sword in our hands. And we bless you and thank you, Heavenly Father, for making it happen, Lord, in each and every life in this body of believers. We pray today for the anointing upon the pastors who will bring the message to us. Give him the freedom to preach and let the word come out with power. We pray, Lord, and touch each and every one in this body of believers. And we want to thank you today. Thank you, Lord, for blessing the finances of this church. Thank you for blessing each individual financially, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as well as spiritually. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord. We want to draw nigh unto you that you may draw nigh unto us. And we want to thank you and praise you for victory today, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Anoint everyone that gives a testimony today, including Thomas as he gives the invitation. Oh, we thank you, and your name be glorified as well, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for a glorious day. Thank you, Jehovah Jireh, provider, the God that shall supply over all our needs. You have supplied it, and you are going to supply, and you will continue supplying. And now, out of what you have given us, let us give to the work of the Lord. Let us give with gladness, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you may have all sufficiency always in all things. It may abound to every good work. Lord, we want to give you all the praise. We want to give you all the glory and all the honor. And this prayer we pray in Jesus' precious and mighty name. And all God's children said, Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus said, you know, to those who have much forgiven for, there's a lot of grace. There's a lot of thankfulness. And we're going to change the order of service here just a few, little bit. And we're going to take communion in just a few moments here. But I'm going to ask Deborah to come at this time. And last week, she was here, and she shared a testimony with us. And Deborah, you go ahead and get your guitar and get ready. She's from Kansas and took a Greyhound bus out here about 25 days ago because she wanted to be set free and have deliverance. And God has met her fantastically. And today, before we have communion, she's going to come and, I think, sing two songs, right? And also, why don't you share with us, last time you shared with us about what happened in your old life. Why don't you share a little bit what happened now, maybe how you feel the last week or so, and what God has done in your heart before you sing?
You know, I told John the other day, if I had to summarize what I have learned, and that's the key word, is learn, in the last month that I've been here, that is that things are not the way we think things should be. We have to learn to flow with the way God wants them to be and say that's okay. I have learned that my preconceived ideas are just that. The Lord, we have to learn to be flexible. We have to learn to be teachable. If we are not teachable, God can't teach us a thing. It's like a child. When a child is young, you know, you want them to learn things. So you demonstrate to them. You don't go tell them to go clean their room. You take them with you to clean the room. And it may take 30 times or whatever, you know. It took until my daughter was 7 years old. It took me with my youngest one. And even then, they're still too young. They still, their mind is like about play and so forth like that. And instead of putting things in order, like, for instance, when the kids would play with something, the rule was you have to put it back so you can play with something else. And those are, you know, God has order. And he has taught me a lot of things through my children. But, you know, now we're going to whatever grade it is I'm in now. You know, we have to learn to graduate and go to the next level of what God wants us to learn. And we have to be flexible. It's like, okay, I'm going into the eighth grade. Well, the seventh grade is not going to teach me the same thing the eighth grade is going to teach me. It's going to be different. And so we have to be flexible and learn to go with the flow. This song that I'm going to sing, the elevation here is different than in Kansas. So I can beller out a lot better out in Kansas than I can here. I got to tune it. I don't believe it. Anyway, I wrote this song in 94. And it's called Surrender, and I wrote it in 15 minutes. And it was after listening to my girlfriend preach a sermon. I don't remember the sermon, but I remember what was in my spirit. And I ran home after that sermon and wrote this song. It's called Surrender. Oh! Destruction. Next song, yes, my guitar was totally out of tune, but maybe you can turn that down later. My next song is an a cappella song, and I was raised with this song, and so I would like to sing that to you. There's a name that's dear to me, took me out of sin and shame, took me out of misery. How I love that precious name. It grows sweeter day by day. So oh, how I love that man from Galilee. Sweet Jesus, fellowship divine. what a friend in need. Oh, sweet Jesus, whenever I'm in need, oh, fellowship divine, I'm his and he is mine. What a friend in need whenever Galilee.
You know, Deborah, you have changed quite a bit since you came. And you know, it's wonderful to see the power of God change a person's life and heal them. Not only physically, but also their souls. And we're very thankful that Deborah, you came. And we bless you as you go back to Kansas this coming week. And we'll be in touch. This time you had a chance to be in front of the cameras twice. Next Sunday you had to watch us for the other side. So we're going to have communion at this time. And I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And to all of you that are watching us right now, and to those who are going to be watching us later on, I want you to get ready with your bread and your grape juice as we're going to take this together. And what we do here is that we pass it out and then we hold it, and then we take it together one by as a group, as a church. So let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we begin in verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned by the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry or wait one for another. The number one criteria to take communion is that you have to be born again. An unbeliever cannot take communion, because what we're going to do here today is holy. And you don't want to be cursed. So if you're not saved, do not partake in the Lord's Supper. If we have sinned that we have not confessed our sins, that will bring judgment upon us. And so here Paul says this. If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You will not have the opportunity today to simply say, God, I'm sorry for whatever I've done that is not right. Whatever it is in your life, you know. I don't know. But God does. So we're going to pause for just a few moments. And I'm going to let you pray and ask God to forgive you if there's anything. And prepare your heart to be ready to take communion with us. So let's just have it totally quiet as we give you a chance to pray. My Heavenly Father, I ask you right now to forgive me for anything that I've done. I might not know of, Lord, that has been sinful. And I confess it, Father God, and I repent of it. And I ask you right now for forgiveness. And let the blood of Jesus just wash me and cleanse me right now. And I thank you for that. And Father God, I pray for our church here, Lord, that each one of these precious souls that came out today, Lord, that they have sought you, they prayed, and they asked you to forgive them. And Father God, when Jesus gave the Last Supper that he ate, there were no cameras, there were no internet. It was just you, them, in the upper room. But today, our Heavenly Father, through technology, we can now have communion in every state of this nation, Canada, Europe, in other places, Lord. And there are people right now that are watching us that are part of this extended family. And Lord, I pray for them that as they partake, that your Holy Spirit will fall in their homes, wherever they are, Father God. Let your Holy Spirit move there mightily. And bless them, Lord, as you're going to bless us here. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And those who are great said, amen and amen. Elders, would you come and prepare the table at this time? Unleavened bread. This is a bread that Jesus had unleavened, flat, solid. And as we look upon this now, it's one piece. And Jesus said, this is my body, which I give for you. And he broke that bread. We can never again put this bread back together. Jesus' body was broken forever for you and for me, that we might have blessings walking with him. As we take the bread here today, I want you to think about Jesus, how much he loves you and care for you. And I'm going to ask Brother Terry if you take that microphone and pray over the bread right now.
Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for the work that was done on the cross. We thank you, Jesus, that you sacrificed yourself for us. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that the man laid down his life for his friends. And you laid down your life for your friends. And thank you, Lord, that we can do that in remembrance of you, Lord. And we bless you and thank you. We give you all the praise the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As you take the bread, hold it, and we'll eat it together. As I stand here and look upon this congregation, I see inside Eric, Patty Sims, and Noah John in New York. I see Gert and Charmaine and their children in Belgium. I see Raymond and Gina in Germany. Christina in Sweden. And Toby and Ola, and many others. As we here today, I take it as communion together. Think about Jesus now. As you chew this, think about that some 1950 years ago, he said, I give my body for you. Let's eat it, let's be thankful, and let's praise him. Hold here today the cups. As you are there in your homes, you don't hear, this is the blood of Jesus, present his blood. When he died on the cross, and the last drop of blood came out, it was shed for you and for me. That blood covers all people that ask for forgiveness and I repent of our sins. As we take this, let us praise him mightily for what he did. Will you hold it? Take it, hold it, and we take it together. And we're going to have Brother Thomas pray right now.
Father God, thank you for the opportunity to take part, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for preachers that were sent out into the world to give the gospel and that light that was shined upon us, Lord. Many people, they don't understand the true story of the gospel, Lord. And I'm reminded of that song that we sang this morning. It said, God condemned by man the judge. You put yourself in that place. You were the only sacrifice that would make the grade. It was the only sinless blood. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for salvation and also for the opportunity to share that among the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Drink the cup and be thankful. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you right now. And we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. You play that song, Oh, the Blood of Jesus, as they pick it up. Oh, the blood of Jesus. One more time. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. You may be seated.
Okay, we're going to take testimonies, but first Charles has an announcement.
We have a little bit of unpleasantness to deal with. We like to sing, we like to testify, but as Christians we're also called to be salt and light, right? A city that is set on a hill. Right now, as we mentioned last week, we've mentioned before, there is a battle that is going on in Congress. Specifically, they're trying to push forth this, what they call a hate bill. And this is S-909. Okay? And it simply means that we have laws on our books that publish or punish crime. And what they're simply saying is there are special crimes that are hate-filled. Now, logically, by nature, all crime is hate. We don't need any extra things. So what it happens is they're simply saying, well, now you have protected minorities. If you happen to be a pedophile, if you happen to be a homosexual, and someone says a disparaging remark about you, you can simply say, that is hate speech. Okay? And not only do they get the book thrown at them, they get it thrown at them three times as hard. So we have freedom of speech in America, okay? But it doesn't give us the right to make derogatory, slanderous comments. That's already on the books. And what they're simply saying is, if you were to pick up your Bible and read Romans chapter 1, and a homosexual heard it and said, "I'm offended, that is hate speech," you're going to jail. So that's the seriousness of it. S-909. I don't have the phone number right now, but basically what they're doing is they're holding hearings. And it's coming down to that they're trying to push this and ramrod it through. It has passed the House of Representatives. The last hurdle right now is the Senate. And you know that President Obama, he loves to sign most anything that gets put in front of him. There isn't anything that he doesn't like to sign. He likes to sign it all, especially if it's anti-Christian, anti-God. So what we need to do is we need to contact senators this last week, you know, in this next coming week, flood them with phone calls, because that's what they pay attention to. Their job is dependent upon being reelected, and they like to be reelected, and they like to sit there in power. And if they hear from a lot of people that they're going to lose their job over this, it makes them stand up and take notice, even if they don't necessarily agree with our agenda. Second of all, we need, when it comes to companies, to vote with our money. Now, I came across this last week. I think it's American Family Action Network, AFA. They're putting out what's called a boycott of a Pepsi. Pepsi is Pepsi, Frito-Lay, Tropicana, Gatorade, okay? You got PepsiCo. It's this massive company that has lots of little companies underneath it. And they think that not only is it okay to give money to homosexual, gay pride events and so forth, but they have mandatory what they call diversification or diversity training, where they brainwash their employees to think that, you know, this is okay. You cannot be an employee of PepsiCo and not go through this. That's fine if they want to have that. But what they're doing is they're taking their money and they're putting their money where their mouth is, and they're voting with that and saying, "We support this." Now, homosexuality is not something that is pleasing to God. Okay? That's putting it lightly. God calls it an abomination. So, if you're sitting in the store and you walk past and you see, if you still drink soda for whatever reason, don't buy Pepsi. If you want to buy some Gatorade, don't buy it. If you like your Tropicana orange juice, don't buy it. If you like your Frito-Lay chips, anything that says Frito-Lay on it, don't buy it. Because what you're doing is you're supporting homosexuality. And it's coming down to the road where, you know, many times we buy tools. You know, you go to Home Depot or to Lowe's, and you got a choice. You got a tool that costs $15, and it says made in the USA. Or you got a tool that's $5, and it says made in China. And you have the ability to vote with your money right now. You know, just the same way when we say, do we want to keep jobs here in America? Okay? We can buy made in the USA. But do we want to vote with our value system and with our money as well? So that's what it comes down to. You know, voting with our money. Because this company is basically very, very arrogant. And they're simply saying, we don't care. Well, they will once their finances start taking a huge dive. If enough Christians do that, we can sit there. We can't force them to do anything, but we can withhold our money. And when we do that, it hurts them. And that makes them stand up and take notice. Third thing, kind of on a personal testimony. Michael Jackson passed away this week. And I came across this post, and a person had written, well, now, this person is supposed to be a Christian. And he said, I hope God gives him grace. And I sat and I read that and I thought, God gives you grace when you're born again. Right? We were singing that song today, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. If you're not born again, there is no grace. The grace period ends when you leave here on this earth. So I wrote that, you know, just wrote a little comment to this person. It seems to me almost like a very important, but people look at it as trivial, where I hope God extends him grace. You know, it just reminded me of my own mortality, of to be able to say, we're given a limited amount of time here on this earth. He was given 50 years or so. But it comes down to that it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Are you born again? That's what it comes down to. Are you born again?
Does anybody know what this is? Just shout it out if you know what it is. Okay. All right. This is an object lesson today. This zucchini is free if anybody wants it. It wasn't free to me, but it's free to you. And this will feed a family of four probably for a week. The lesson here is, if I would have picked this on Monday instead of this morning, it would have been a lot smaller. But I couldn't find it through all the foliage. I had to dig into the garden and find it. My garden, I spaced the stuff too close together. So I got cantaloupes coming up where I think zucchini should be. And cucumbers are coming up where I think the tomatoes are supposed to be. Anyway, this I thought about this when I picked this. This is like that cancer. That if you find it early, it's a lot smaller. If you wait a few days, it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So this is the analogy. Most people are not wanting their zucchini this big. Anyway, I thought that would be a good analogy. And you can have this zucchini for free. Okay. Any testimonies this morning? Anybody want to share what God's done in their life? Michael.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to go ahead and explain how God dealt with something in our lives this week, which is pretty powerful. Went ahead and had a little prayer meeting the other day out in the street with Joanne Satiris, and we got a little distracted, I guess, and Satiris went and set his Bible down on the truck step, and his glasses there, and we got a little distracted, I guess, and then we both went our directions, and I took the truck, and I left. And I'm driving down the road now, after I went over two big bumps and curbs, and now going 40, 45 miles an hour down the street, and the phone call comes in, and it's the terrorist. Hey, I think I left my Bible and my glasses on the truck for step outside of the truck. This is on the outside. And I pulled over in the middle of the street, stopped real quickly, put the hazards on, ran over there. Believe it, it was sitting there. The glasses didn't even move. Nothing moved. And I'm telling you, I went over two big bumps, turns. This is down there in Sacramento where things aren't the greatest roads. Actually, none of the roads around here are great. But bottom line is that God really does take care of his people. And he loves us, and he does things that we don't even ask for. And I found this to be true in many, many areas. And I noticed that the Bible that was sitting there in the glasses, I noticed that it was like stuck like glue, because the glasses was in this case. And when I went to get it, it was sliding around. It should have been gone. But something said, God sat on that and just let it hang in there. And it was a blessing, because that Bible, And those glasses, well, were had a lot of use in them, especially the Bible. And if we would have lost that, well, I was actually thinking in my head, I'm going to have to turn around and go backtrack and find that thing on the road somewhere. But praise God, you know, he took care of us, and that's how life is.
Yeah, right on. Deborah, she has a glasses story, too. I guess she was at the lake last week and lost her glasses. Went back to the lake yesterday, and there they were. Right on the shore. All right. God's looking after the little things for us, too. Okay, any more testimonies this morning? Okay, Pastor John.
Just an announcement here that after the service, I'd like to meet with those people that want to be baptized in our office behind here. So all people that are going to be baptized today, meet with me inside the office afterwards. Let's have the outlines handed out.